May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If y'all hear a growling or a grumbling, it's my stomach. And I had breakfast this morning, but that's one of the things that separate divine humans from human humans. I have to eat every few hours, and Jesus could go 40 days with fasting and still resist the temptations of the devil. On Wednesday, we had a few beautiful services to begin the season of Lent. Today is the first Sunday in Lent, and on Wednesday was the Ash Wednesday services. Many of you were here, some were not. And in that liturgy, we have what is called the invitation to the observance of a Holy Lent. And it's a time before the ashes are imposed where a priest gets up and invites you to the observance of a Holy Lent with six different ways in which you could enter that. But before we get to the six ways, there's a line which says, and this Lent is a time when notorious sinners could be reconciled. And whenever I say that, I always look up because I see people going, thinking about who in the world are the notorious sinners around them, or who in the world are the notorious sinners that they could name subconsciously or not out loud. I don't really see a lot of people just angelically looking there. They want to know who those notorious sinners are. And it is kind of funny because I do believe that while we are always invited to, and it's a Christian duty and part of being a disciple of Jesus on the way, that we work against societal sin and systems of sin. I believe that, and we do that here with all our hearts, but I do believe that Lent is a time to look a little inward so that we may sustain that other work towards collaborating with God to bring God's kingdom of justice, mercy, and peace here on earth. I think we have to look at those six ways to help us go deeper with ourselves and to return in a very deliberate and conscientious way to habits and ways of being in the world, in a world that has forgotten how to be kind, to return and look at our own lives to how we may be kind to ourselves and to each other, to look at ways that we may be a little more honest about what we're doing and the lies we tell ourselves, that we are called to look at ourselves in Lent and not to shame ourselves. Not to shame ourselves. But we are called to free ourselves of whatever is holding us back from right relationship with God and with each other and even with ourselves. We are called to let go of habits that we have fallen back into that are harmful to us and to others, that are not sustainable, that are not good for our relationships, either personal or community. The six things that you are invited on Ash Wednesday to do in order to observe a Holy Lent begin with self-examination. And not a shaming, but an honest, a truth-telling. What can I do differently that will allow me to be in relationship with God and with others in a more authentic and sustainable way? So self-examination is important. Have I fallen into patterns of telling white lies about others, of trying to gain control in areas where that's not really what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I being reactive, or am I responding thoughtfully to situations around me? Am I helping myself by complaining about whatever it is you complain about? Or am I letting that have power over me? Should I just let it go? So self-examination, repentance, prayer, fasting, self-denial, reading and meditating on God's holy word. Those are the six ways that we are invited into the observance of a holy Lent. And the words that we hear, remember that thou art dust, and to dust thou shalt return. Those are words not to belittle us or make us feel weak and finite, but to, again, liberate us, empower us, inspire us to use our life, our God-given life, to the best of our abilities. To build things up, not tear them down. To change in ways that will help us and others for the long haul. Because it's easy these days to name the notorious sinners, right? It's easy to point out every day around us what is happening that is destructive. On a personal level, on a community level, on a national level. But how are we to resist the temptation like Jesus did in the wilderness? How are we to strengthen ourselves for the long run? To strengthen ourselves in the wildernesses that we find ourselves in. Self-examination, repentance, prayer, fasting, self-denial, reading and meditating on God's holy word. So Jesus shows in his example, and just to be clear, I know none of us are Jesus, and we're going to fall, and we're going to fall short sometimes, because Jesus is not like me. When I get hangry, I get a little irritable sometimes, and I know I need to separate myself, not for prayer and fasting, but to get some protein, right? But Jesus was able, in his prayer and fasting, in his wilderness, to stay true, to stay strong, to know when the devil was trying to give him something that was not the devil's to give in the first place. Jesus responded to the misuse of biblical terms by the devil. So that's nothing new, y'all. This is in the scripture. People twisting biblical verses to their advantage. Jesus was able to respond to that twisting of the Bible with his own quoting of the Bible. So maybe one of the things you could do during this Lent, maybe you already do it, but is to pick three verses, scripture verses, that will help you when you are falling into temptation of despair, when you are falling into the temptation of dehumanizing, when you are falling into the temptation about making something all about yourself. Pick three biblical verses and memorize them during Lent. Put them up. when someone quotes something or says something about Christians that has nothing to do with Christianity, you can bring the beautiful scriptures to life in your strong and kind and firm response. Or maybe you just need to revisit the scripture to help you keep going. I think I've shared this before. One of my favorite scriptural verses is from the Gospel of Mark, and it's when Jesus goes to heal the Jairus' daughter, and he says, "Talitha kumi, little girl, get up." And all my life, I've had that as a mantra. When I feel despair, or when I feel weak, or when I feel grief, or I'm stuck in a bad habit, little girl, get up. No longer little girl, I changed it to just girl, get up, right? Get over it sometimes. And there are many other scriptures like that. I think the church got it wrong, and somebody spoke about this at a conference I was just at, and I can't remember who said it, but I just want to let people know that it wasn't me who thought of this at first, but I agree that the church got it wrong when they said, or titled this, "The Temptation of Christ." Because what Christ was doing was resisting. The focus should be on how Christ is resisting and resilient in the face of the temptations. So it should be the resistance of Jesus. And that's what we need now. We need to be resilient and find ways that help us to be resilient in our spirituality and our walk on Christ's way. We need to find ways to help us resist when we feel tired or angry. We need to look to Jesus, who was able to do that in extreme circumstances, not that we might do it with perfection, but his prayer and fasting and self-denial, if we can get a little piece of that for ourselves, we are doing good, and that will lead us to a returning to ways of being that are healthy for us and are filled with courage and kindness and love. And that is repentance. For even if you are in the wilderness, a sign of a Christian is a person who will be resilient and resist, who will revel in ways to remake the arguments that so many just take as fact. You know, the bread turning into stone, that would have just helped Jesus. And that's not what he was all about. So that's self-denial. That the kingdom and authority of the world, that was not the devil's to give in the first place. So Jesus called out the gaslighting and the lie. But now I want to go back to Deuteronomy. I want to go back to Deuteronomy because it is a powerful text with a powerful message. Deuteronomy reminds us that all is God's, and we forget that at our own peril. So whatever we do, we are to be called back to a trust and commitment in God. And whatever we have, God gives us to share that in liberty, not for control, not for power, not for the right to feel superior, but all that we have is God. And God gives to us so that we might share. A wandering Aramean was a person who was on in his own wilderness. And we are to remember that we could be a people or person in need. And we are to remember to give to those who have to leave their homeland, who have to leave their situation, to not be scared, but to remember that we were of a people who were oppressed by Pharaoh, who got hospitality when we were wandering. And I wanted to point that out because of the fear and hate that are being spread about immigrants and refugees, about the courage that we need to return from exile of fear to hearts full of love and courage, because we remember that we needed kindness and food and safety and liberty. And we want that for others. And so I want us all, I'm going to end with this, I want us all to look at the back page of your bulletin. And there it says a prayer for migrant ministries. And this is from our Episcopal Migrant Ministries. And all of these qualities, especially at the end, are things that we should try to return to observe a holy Lent. And let us pray this prayer together. Gracious God, we give you thanks and all the glory for abiding with us and blessing our ministries. You walk us along paths of purpose. You open portals of new opportunities before us. Encourage our hearts to ensure a radiant and safe future for our newest neighbors who come from afar. Inspire us to create a beloved community with all who cross our paths. We give thanks for the countless stories of small victories and grand success, which are signs of your love and power working through us. We thank you for the courage of all those who are compelled to migrate, to strive to scale not just the high walls of life, but also and especially the higher walls of challenge. Strengthen us to walk together with them. Be our continuing vision, O God. Give us the hope of the immigrant, the resolve of the wanderer, and soften our hearts to their cries for justice. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our welcomer, our greeter, our host. Amen.